The year is 1892. We hear the voice of Kate Shepherd. Is it right that while the gambler, the drunkard, and even the wife-beater has a vote, earnest, educated, and refined women are denied it? Is it right that your mother, your sister, should be thought unworthy of a vote that is freely given to the liar, the seducer, and the profligate?
The year is 1911. The women of America are still denied the vote. We hear the voice of Charlotte Perkins Gilman.
When the woman suffrage argument first stood upon its legs, they answered it with cabbages, they answered it with eggs. They answered it with ridicule, they answered it with scorn. They thought it a monstrosity that should not have been born. Suffrage argument grew vigorous and wise, and was not to be answered by these opposite replies. They turned their opposition into reasoning severe upon the limitations of our God-appointed sphere. Told of disabilities, a long array of these, till one could think that womanhood was merely a disease. The great maternal sacrifice was added to the plan of the various sacrifices we have always made to man. Religionists and scientists in amity and bliss, however else they disagreed, could all agree on this. And the gist of all their discourse, when you got down to it, They would not hear the reason, they would not fairly yield. They would not own their arguments were beaten in the field. But time passed on in some way, we need not ask them how. Whatever is those arguments, we do not hear them now. You may talk of suffrage now with an educated man, and he agrees with all you say as sweetly as he can. 'Twould be better for us all, of course, if womanhood was free. But the women do not want it, and so it must not be. Such a tender thoughtfulness, so exquisite a care, not to pile on our frail shoulders what we do not wish to bear. But oh, most generous brother, let us look a little more. Have we women always wanted what you gave to us before? Did we ask for veils and harems in the Oriental races? Did we beseech to be unclean, shut out of sacred places? Did we beg for scalding bridles and ducking stools to come? And clamor for the beating stick no thicker than your thumb? Did we ask to be forbidden from all the trades that pay? Did we claim the lower wages for a man's full work today? Have we petitioned for the laws wherein our shame is shown, that not a woman's child nor her own body is her own? What women want has never been a strongly acting cause. When woman has been wronged by man in churches, customs, laws, why should he find this preference so largely in his way, when he himself admits the right of what we ask? Thank you.
It is 1893. We hear the voice of Akinehito Moana.
Of September 1893, we hear the voice of Kate Shepherd from New Zealand speaking to the world. The news is being flashed far and wide, and before our earth has revolved on its axis, every community within the reach of electric wires will have received the tidings that civic freedom has been granted to the women of New Zealand. Principles of reason and justice have triumphed over prejudice, triumphed over narrow-mindedness, triumphed over selfishness.
It is the 19th of September, 2018. We hear the voice of Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand, speaking from Parliament. It is a privilege and an honour to be the first to speak in this special debate on this extraordinary day. My words today are intended primarily as a tribute. First and foremost, as a tribute to the women who led the change. To Kate Shepherd, to Margaret Sivright, to the 25,000 women who signed the petition in 1893. I also acknowledge the mothers of these women, because we stand on the shoulders of giants, and they stood on the shoulders of mothers. Amongst this seemingly ordinary set of people has risen the extraordinary. They were bookkeepers. They were dressmakers. They were grocers. They were people who saw injustice, and they rectified it. They rectified it.
The principles of reason and justice have triumphed over prejudice, triumphed over narrow-mindedness, triumphed over selfishness.